Hey, it is December the 28th. It is 2010. This is Russ Dizdar. Shatter the Darkness Live. Listen, blessings to you in Christ, even now as we begin this hour. Supernatural, a providential hour for you and I to listen to the voice of God. Listen to His Spirit. Listen to the Word of God. In the midst of 2010, there's only 3 days left. Can I ask you, do you want to dig back into the past? Do you want to dig back to all of 2010 and see about the events? Did you run out of time? Did you run out of money? Did you have any trouble? How about failures? What about missed opportunities? What about tragedies? Listen, do you want to dig into it? And when I mention this, let me ask you whether you have regrets. Whether 2010 has bitten you, or whether 2010 and all that you went through taught you. We are in a series just simply called 2010 in Retrospect. But it's all about marching into 2011. And listen, marching into 2011 with greater wisdom and, really getting smart about how to walk with God. What time it is on the prophetic clock. All these things are vital. Listen to the words that we put on the website. Someone said that the dreams of youth, well, they're the regrets of maturity. That's what some say. And it goes on to say this, does anyone have hope for the future? Does anyone make plans? Does 2010 have anything to do with 2011? Well, absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. As you've got 3 days left for this year, in 4 days, you'll be launching into 2011. As we said, 2010 and 2012, a lot of connection there. 2011 is going to be that kind of thing in the middle. I think it's going to go fast. I was asking yesterday about giving a particular word or how do you describe 2010? And I said my word for 2010 was the word nervous. For 2011, my word was expectation. And that could be good or bad. Expecting the worst, expecting good things. But the idea of expectation because of 2012. For a lot of us, 2010, we just don't even want to think about it. So many people are going to, listen, they're going to go out and get drunk to try to wipe away all of 2010. Forget about it, get up, and listen, launch out into 2011. And if 2010 was bad and all you do is live the same way and do the same things, isn't that kind of like crazy? I don't want to go into 2011 nuts. I want to go in with the wisdom of God. I want to listen, as a believer in Christ, we want to be able to bear the fruit. We want to be able to do what counts, especially in the urgency of the hour. So again, I want to welcome all of you in localities and internet radio and satellite radio, archives. Even if you listen a month later, the Spirit of God and grace and might will be with you. Let me stop for a moment and just give you a little peek. I got a email. I got about 10 yet to get back to today. And again, I'm not going to give a name nor the depth of the content. But here's a dear individual. They might be listening live right now. I don't know. They're from Hawaii. They've had some tragedy that occurred around the holiday time, so that when holiday comes, guess what happens? When we have things in our lives in the past and they've not been dealt with, especially if they did occur around holiday times, then when they come around again, we're reminded this was the time. This is what it felt like. This is the grief, this is the pain, this is the fear, this is the loss, this is the failure. And so as I'm reading this, the individual is asking for me to call, and we're going to be able to do that maybe tonight there to Hawaii. But here's how it begins. That's why this 1 hour, I have understood now very clearly that it is divine appointment, that it is a providential hour, because so many thousands of you that listen live right now, and then there's so many thousands upon thousands, and we've counted up to just off this site, up to 80 countries of the world or more that will download and listen to an MP3. So all I'm going to say concerning this email is this. Here's the words of the first sentence, quote, "Well, just barely got through the holiday. Lots of prayer. Listening to your MP3s helped and gave me hope." And then they go into the body of their discussion and their issues and request. I want you to know that if you write an email, it's very hard for me to give in-depth counseling in an email. But I do want you to know that when I can get back to, not everybody, but I can get back to some, because I look here now, 1,100 behind. And but we are catching up with daily things, and we hope to be able to, well, it's for me, a new approach in January to how we'll even respond. Because we have about 7 people that want to come into the city here locally. They want prayer, they want counsel, they want deliverance, they want freedom in Christ. And so we're going to look forward to that, and we're going to set up all that we can. Last year we had a lot of conferences to go through, and I hope this year we'll have a lot of conferences. I love to see you and see individuals coming. We had folks in conferences in Michigan and St. Louis and out there in Las Vegas and down in Nashville and Mansfield, Ohio. And you know what? It was great, because folks came from a collective about 25 different states, and it was an absolute blessing to see all of you. And if we saw each other face to face, let me tell you something. Somebody just wrote me about the last conference when Tom Horn was here, and the book they got, and they were talking about a few things, and they asked me if I remembered. And yes, absolutely. I remember the dear lady that I talked to her about her son, and her son had cancer. We prayed for him in that audience that day, and as I listened to her, I mean, she brought me to tears, and I had to embrace her and give her a hug and pray for her. And I tell you what, it's a you know, speaking is one thing, but ministering one-on-one. So I pray that God will help it to be a ministry one-on-one. Because of the Spirit of God, omnipresence, omniscience, but also omni-grace, omni-mercy. And may grace and mercy come your way immediately and right now. And may it be again God's supernatural hand in the midst of today. As we think in terms of 2010, getting ready to go into 2011, it's a good time to do an evaluation. Don't be afraid of that. Some people are afraid to look at the mistakes, the failures, the trouble, and they just kind of blank it out, drug it out, alcohol it out, dissociate it, whatever else they want to do. But then going into 2011, are you going to repeat the same things? Are you going to miss something? So that's what we want to get into. And as we do that, we may dig into toxic memories. You know, the things that we put in the back of our, like a beach ball that we put under the water. As long as we hold it deep under the water, it stays. The moment you take your hand off of it, it floats to the top. Some people hold down toxic memories, issues and things that occurred in their life that they don't want to deal with. And so held down deeply in you with a lot of your effort are issues that have never been cleared, never been healed, never been given wisdom to, so you know how to walk. But we're going to pray that in this 1 hour, God will do something miraculous, go way beyond 1 hour. May God let it be like a 10-hour awesome wisdom of God counseling engagement, healing engagement. So we pray in the name of Jesus for healing to come also. For instead of just regrets, how about redirect? How about renewal? How about restoration? How about revival? How about where we need to return to God? Now, yesterday we did this part in giving a 2010 in retrospect about the events and things like that. Now, tonight we're going to focus on the more personal, but I do want to go over something. I found a website today. It's actually Time Magazine, which I don't really care for, but I was looking at the top 10 of everything for 2010. They have a list here, top 10 albums for 2010, top animal stories for 2010, top apologies for 2010, top buzzwords, top campaign ads, top crime stories, top feuds, top gadgets, top iPhone applications, on and on and on and on. And top new species, that's a good one. So anyway, under Time Magazine, they have one that's called the top 10 of everything. And this one we picked out was the top 10 when it came to oddball stories. So 2010 oddball stories. Here's the top 10. Number one, they are showing a picture of an iPhone that has, it's one of a kind. It's diamond encrusted and it's an $8 million iPhone. Definitely out of my budget. Could write a check, but it wouldn't. It would. It sure would. Well, it'd be rubber, that's for sure. Let me tell you another one. In the top 10 oddball stories for the year, it's titled "The Mystery Missile That Wasn't." Remember the missile that went off the almost like the coast of California, and there are those that were trying to say, "Well, that's just simply an airplane," but no, that absolutely was not an airplane. I mean, all you had to do was check with ground-level controllers to find out if one was scheduled to go in that direction. Everything showed missile, and then finally some of the truth came out. It may have been a Chinese sub, but there it was off the coast. A little testing of the waters, a little demonstration of Chinese ability. Now, talking about the Chinese, we go to the third of top 10 oddball stories for 2010. The two-year-old smoker. And I'm looking at a picture of this. Well, actually, he's an Indonesian boy who developed a two-pack-a-day cigarette habit. Insane. Where's mom? Where's the dad? Where's anybody? And it says in the little article here, he's addicted. And now listen, the dad says, he's addicted, said the not-so-worried dad who started his child smoking at 18 months. Unfortunately, well, it became a YouTube phenomenon. Two-year-old addicted to two packs a day. Insane oddball story for 2010. Here's another one. There was the competitive eating champion that became a jailbird. And it tells the story of the Frank Bird, or the hot dog eating king, and eventually his whole trip to jail. He jumped the stage in a hungry rage and was later charged with resisting arrest, disorderly conduct. He was kind of like the hot dog king that failed and wanted to get it all back. And he was going to attack the other contestants. That next story, the fifth story, I'm going to pass by because of the personal, I don't want to say it, nature of the story. It's about King Tut, but I'm not going to go into it. You know what the top, out of the top 10, six is, out of oddball stories, is that a time traveler on the Charlie Chaplin DVD. Now here's what it says about it. In 1923, there was no such thing as time machines. Technology was advanced quite a bit since then. Has advanced quite a bit since then. But there's a claim that in this video, you can look at an individual, a woman, and it looks like she might even be talking on a cell phone or something else, but the video is supposedly showing a time traveler. Now, that's a deep and interesting study, and I love the concept of prophetic biblical revelation that takes us into the future and shows us the feelings, the exact words, the responses, detail of what will really occur infallibly, irrevocably. Now, I'm going to take another one. This is top 10 oddball story for 2010, number 7, where there is Deborah Lee is fired for excessive beauty. Number 8. Let me go on to one more. Let's go on to one more here, number 9. I don't want to go there, too. It's all about a porn star, number 9. I'm not going to go into that one either. And then number 10, the U.S. wishes the Queen happy birthday on the wrong day. Well, listen, if you're new to this voice, this is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness Live, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Now, listen, on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, there are tons of MP3s, all kinds of stuff the entire week. Now, we have a theme for this week, 2010 in retrospect, but also marching into 2011 ablaze, and we want to help you. Now, Today, we're going to talk about the past, Wednesday night, about right now, current issues, current choices, what are we going to do? And then Thursday, we're going to deal with perspectives on the future. And Friday, in light of 2012, you know, another year and 3 days away, we're going to talk about the supernatural contrast that we're going to see in 2011. And we're going to take a look at the incredible mission that you can be a part of in 2011 that could be the most supernatural time and a fruitful time in your entire life. Well, once again, take a look, shatterthedarkness.net. Take a look at all the stuff. Take your time. It'll lead you to hundreds and hundreds of MP3s. And by mentioning that, I'm going to tell you this. We've got more than half of all the courses up, that the course on discipleship and supernatural apologetics and theocentric counseling and freedom encounters, the Holy Spirit and the Book of Daniel, Satanism 101, exposing it. Confronting the powers. They're all up there and they're now free. Now we've got sexual decadence in the end of man, preemptive systematic theology, and half of the spiritual gifts one. They've got to be fixed and they're going to be put up. So we're going to do a email out coming up here in about 2 days to give you all the listings of the courses that are free, all of the ongoing series on Psy Wars, on Homo Satanus, and all the rest. We're going to give you updates on all of that. And we're going to tell you about the new course, the Book of Acts, called Field Manual for the End of Days, and also another course on spiritual leadership for the third millennium. Now, that's all going to be free. Everything is going to be up there and free. And take a look in January. Brand new newsletter will come out for 2011, the very first couple of days of January. If you don't get it automatically, you can always go to the website, top left-hand corner, the preempter. Just click on it, and every month there's at least one, and we will have that for you. Let me mention concerning funds. People have asked about it here at the end of the year. We're live and coming to you right now all over and by the thousands, and we're glad to do that. We believe it's God's plan and God's providence, and God has opened a door. We also believe clearly that we're to launch and continue into 2011. So 6 months ago, when it came down to kind of a decision, we just simply put a simple 30-second, you know, little talk out like we're doing right now, and we're simply saying that if you want to see this live program, and if you've taken a look at all the work of Shatter the Darkness, and you want to help us, you want to be a part of that, realizing that during this hour, during all the other MP3s, during the hundreds and hundreds that we have out there, and all the work we do locally, we do not have products, commercials, and business things like that, that support. So the only way we can do it, and the only way you'll know about it, is we have a little support tab on the shatterthedarkness.net website. If you're not able to go and you don't have email, if you're satellite, the address to the local P.O. Box, 755 Uniontown, Ohio, 44685. 755 Uniontown, Ohio, 44685. And we've had two individuals primarily that has funded the last 6 months for the live radio show you're listening to, or if you're listening by archive, and all the other things that are going on. And if you take a look on the website and click on support, it'll explain all of the things that we do. And we're simply just praying for 100 folks to help out. Out of 1,600,000 downloads of MP3s in 2010. Out of almost 33 million hits on the site, out of hundreds of thousands in over 90 countries. And you know that this is the longest we ever talk about this kind of stuff. But without those commercials and without that other stuff that have to be on there for many other programs, which is fine, my choice and my leading has been just to simply say, pray for us and remember us and support. And I thank the Lord for 25 to 30 individuals that do, two individuals that took care specifically of the radio program. And so we look forward to you praying about it and considering investing into the project. So that's all we're going to say. Let's take a look into retrospect 2010 and the issues of our lives. Now, yesterday I said that, and in the very beginning of this little just paragraph that we put here, if you want to go into 2011 with greater spiritual discernment and greater abilities in spiritual analysis, so that you can, you know, learn how to walk with the Lord. Now, listen, I know there are those that recon the show, that are opposed to things that we do. You listen. You're here by the providence of God, and I'm grateful for that, because you get to hear again and again and again about a great King, God, the eternal God, the immortal God, Christ, Jesus, Savior and healer and friend. He's coming again, and he knows you. And there's nobody that loves you more, nobody that wants you more, and the summons of God goes to all to call you to come home, receive Christ, salvation, the gift of indestructible immortality, eternal life. And I don't think you can find anything like this. It's not about competition, but it's about literally in the world that we live in, with the ramping up of the spiritual counterfeit and alternative, with the emergence of the Luciferic globalism as never before in history, and our approach to the coming chaos, Antichrist, well, the abyss, and then Armageddon. We're talking about what Jesus said about the future. Talk about the past in retrospect. Listen, there's a clear word concerning the future. A lot of others are seeing it and feeling it, but if you want the clear, infallible, irrevocable words of accurate future human history, well, you're going to have to look at the words of Jesus, Matthew 24, the rest of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to give you five things real quick. I mentioned them yesterday quickly at the end. But I'm going to mention them now. If you want spiritual discernment, if you want to be able to discern better, and you want to be able to have what we've called spiritual analysis. Now on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, if you scroll down where the newest MP3s are, we did a 1 hour training on spiritual analysis, analyzing what's going on spiritually. Now here's how we can do it. Spiritual discernment and analyzing. Here's five things I incorporate in my life. As I'm evaluating last year, as I'm evaluating where I'm at in my walk with God, as I'm evaluating what's coming before me, I am truly seeking the wisdom of God. And I've got a great word for you, Isaiah 48, verse 17. I'll read it now, but I want to bring it in at the end again. Hear the words of God, Isaiah 48, 17. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you and directs you in the way you should go. Hear it again. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you and directs you in the way you should go. What is best and leading, direction. Now, I want to tell you what, that's what we need. And I'm going to give you confession. God knows how to give us the best. God knows how to give us the direction. He knows everything that's going to happen. Do you remember the Last Supper? All the disciples were there. There's Jesus. They had spent about 3 years with him. They had seen it all. They had thought they'd seen it all. And then Jesus looks at them in the midst of the great fellowship they were having and said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail, and when you return, go strengthen your brothers. They had no idea. They were clueless. Now, one of you on Facebook, I want to say thank you to Catherine, thank you to Linda, and thank you to Patricia, and thank you to others that have put up notes concerning the show yesterday. And as they were looking, matter of fact, I'm going to go over there real quick and maybe quote some of the things that were said. But one of you talked about 2010 or maybe 2011 was the one word you want to describe it with was clueless. Another person said that really what they understood the idea of the 2010 being a year of being of all the events that occurred and the financial stuff and everything else, nervous. Everybody's nervous politically, economically, you know, military, nervous. But someone said also clueless. Now, I was talking with a fellow that had stopped by the house with his wife to see my wife yesterday. We began to talk about a lot of things, and he was bringing up the church. And I'm a brother in Christ, sold out to the body of Christ, weak and strong. I don't want to see any brothers or sisters, you know, out there, the wounded. So I'm not a slammer and a bammer so much as one that wants to see renewal, restore, you know, restoration, revival, and what needs to be done, and then live my life to where I'm bearing fruit, because that's what it's all about. But they were talking about, they were asking me questions why most churches in the area we lived in, they don't do deliverance, they don't do this and this, and they were going on and on. And I said, my assessment is, with the massive ramping up of the dark side in the last 30, 40 years, because of the behind-the-scenes ritual stuff, the presence of the dark side is here and evident and sensed and felt, which includes the concept of suppressing and silencing the body of Christ. So my assessment was we're too suppressed and silent, and we may be 30 years behind in our understanding of what time it is. We can't just do things that we did 30 years ago and expect, you know, in our method that it's all going to be the same. If we do not understand the urgency of the hour, the need to bring all of the Word of God into discipleship and into creating powerful, immovable, strong, just compassionate servants of God, then it, like Jesus did Matthew or in Luke 10, as we see in the book of Acts, in that development. So again, I give to all of you, as I said to him last night, Acts 9:22, Saul of Tarsus got saved. Saul of Tarsus became Paul and got filled with the Spirit of God. But then as he went out to do the stuff, verse 22 says he grew more and more powerful. So maybe that's going to be a good word for some. Out of Isaiah 48, God's going to teach you and will teach you what is best and lead you in the way you should go. But you're going to have to stop, you're going to have to listen, you're going to have to evaluate, you're going to have to let God bring conviction and let God sort it out. Like Psalm 139, search me, O God, and see if there's any offensive thing in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. And that's what God's all about. Even when he brings conviction, even when massive conviction comes to churches and areas, that's all about hitting what it is that grieves the Spirit of God, quenches the Spirit of God, and then keeps us from doing what we need to be doing powerfully for Christ. So many times he has to come in and deal with what we're doing that blocks and then ultimately suppresses us and defeats us and so forth. So I'm going to give you five things real quick that I think is involved in the evaluation, in our walk, and urgently needed right now. Number one, the Word of God. Now, you go read Hebrews 4 and 5, chapters 4 and 5, in context. It's going to tell you there that the Word of God consistently used, I mean used again and again, will give you experiential discernment between good and evil. You'll know the difference. It'll grant you more and more wisdom, more and more knowledge, more and more discerning ability in the world around us. And then secondly, God the Holy Spirit. You got to know what it is to be filled, to be clothed with the power of the Spirit of God. You got to know what it is to make sure you're not grieving the Spirit of God, Ephesians 4. Or putting out the Spirit's fire, quenching the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5. What it is to be led and guided and walking and be sensitive to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. Now, the Lord took me in my own devotion today back to 1 John chapter 4. Can you recognize the spirit of error as opposed in contrast to the Spirit of truth? As believers, we're supposed to know. In the context of 1 John chapter 4, there's a revelation of the spirit of Antichrist. And then there's a revelation of greater, the Holy Spirit in us. Now, I'm going to, again, ask you to take a look at that and realize that you and I are going to have an experiential letting the Spirit of God teach, sanctify, guide, give insight, and really give us the sensitivity. And I'm going to say the Word of God and the Holy Spirit inseparably together will enable you to be at the cutting edge. Number three, though, I want to make an emphasis on biblical prophetic revelation. And if you wanted to, you can mark down 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. In the past, the prophets, you know what they did with the Word of God and the guidance of the Spirit of Christ? Even 700 years before Christ came into, well, physical form, Logos becoming flesh, long before he actually came here, prophets, with the greatest of care, with great intensity, they were searching the prophetic scriptures with the aid and the help of the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, that's right, God the Holy Spirit, to see the times and the circumstances. So if you're going to look at all the stuff that's going on and the 2012ers out there and the psychics out there and the remote viewers out there, and I was doing some deeper study last night about predictions that WebBot is bringing out, and I'm going to tell you right now, millions are going to listen to psychics, astrologers, remote viewers, and WebBot. Many things are going to begin to tell people in their analysis about things for the future. I'm going to tell you that the most accurate, infallible, irrevocable, detailed specifics about what's really going to happen are going to be found in biblical prophetic revelation. And in that, and specifically in the New Testament, God shows us three things. Number one, he shows what he is going to do, cultivating in the coming of Christ, the 1,000-year millennial reign, the Prince of Peace, the cessation of war, the healing of the nations, on and on and on. The great white throne judgment at the end about seeing God face to face. So we see all that God is going to do, and it is breathtaking. It is just absolutely going to be overwhelming. And that's what we need to understand, having that picture of what God will actually be bringing. The glorification, indestructible immortality, all that in prophetic revelation. Now, prophetic revelation also has a second tier. God has revealed exactly the sequence, the development, the evolutionary process of satanic development in the world. And what is occurring and what will. Next on the events, the great chaos, the rise of Antichrist. Well, there'll be the two witnesses, of course, but there's going to be a great persecution. There's going to be war. There's going to be the four horsemen. There'll be billions that will die. The Antichrist, well, the abyss will be opened, and that will be the disclosure that some are saying they want. And then Armageddon, the last day of fallen human history. So there are... And I'm just giving you an overview of what the scripture gives, where God, the Holy Spirit, infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, and uncreated, God the Holy Spirit, has spelled out what Satan and the entire Luciferic forces will do in the broadest seductive deception in global history will be here. And it will bring the darkest destruction in all of human history. So we need to know, number three, prophetic revelation, what God's going to do, what Satan's going to do. If you want to understand what the dark side is going to do, because literally it's as if God lifts up the carpet to look at all the dirt under the carpet that nobody sees. And, you know, in our research of the Word, by the Spirit of Christ, just like the prophets, just like they did then, prophetic revelation and searching and looking, will know this. And you'll be aided with, I mean, literally your eyes are lit with that prophetic content that can see. Peter on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in power, in fulfillment to the prophecy of Joel, hundreds of years prior. You know what? You know what? You know what? Peter said, led by the Spirit of God, this occurrence, this event, is that which the prophet Joel, you know, said is going to happen. So him knowing what the prophecy was out of Joel, and of course what Jesus said would soon occur, Jesus added to the prophecy of Joel about the event of Pentecost. And that's why I'm saying, when you look at biblical prophetic scripture upon biblical prophetic scripture, Daniel, Matthew 24, Thessalonians 4 and 5, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 John 2, the book of Revelation, and on and on and on, you get more and more and more and more content that gives you greater insight than, let me tell you what, greater insight than all of this Nostradamus stuff, Edgar Cayce stuff, remote viewer stuff, psychic stuff, 2012, Mayan prophecy stuff, even WebBot. Because we're dealing with infallible, irrevocable, accurate, detailed descriptions of the future. How it will really pan out. And we need that in marching forward, knowing the words of Christ. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. The inseparable, forever, total, full presence of the living Christ, marching all the way to the very end. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Those are the words of God. Now, let me mention number four. As I said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, 11, you've got to look. Now, I'm going to say this very clearly, and this is where you'll have to see, you know, where you're at. You're either going to look at this content and get prepared, or you're going to hide. Based on fear, so many individuals hide. They don't want to even listen to anybody talking about prophetic future events. They don't want to hear about the abyss. They don't want to hear about the Antichrist. And those that do talk about it in worldwide known talk shows are hoping they can advert it somehow, change it somehow. They have no understanding of what God is saying will occur because of the dark side's presence, of the legal right and openness in the hearts and lives of hundreds of millions. So the precursor to all of it is the ongoing spiritual alternative development that has been going on, that frog in the kettle approach, and it's all going to come down. But in the context of that, God gives us that for the cutting edge. And it does not then negate the promises of God's presence and power and miraculous. Oh, let me tell you something. But you need to look. You and I, we need to take a deep effort. In a small way, you can go to shatterthedarkness.net, scroll down, look over to the left. Now, I did a simple, the book of Daniel, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And you can simply take your Bible and go along. That's going to help. Training courses. I'm hearing from people all over the world. To the Russians, again, I'm going to say, Dobre utro. And listen to many others all over the world that are doing this. I just pray for me, because I'm trying to get it to where I can learn to get it up there better for you. And God has enabled, even with 20, 25 people helping out in the support of the whole of the project. It's all going to hundreds and hundreds of what I would do here. If I was in a local college teaching, or when I taught theology and taught training, when I was doing it all here locally, that's all we're doing. We're putting it up on the web. And we had somebody from Nigeria, when I got on Facebook, began to talk to me and want training. He wanted training. I sent him links to every single course and everything we had. He wrote back and said, how much this is going to cost? Where do I register? I said, there's no registry, and you don't have to pay anything. Just start with confronting the power. Start with the book of Daniel and get into it. So you're going to have to take some effort. If you want to be able to move forward, the more content of the Word of God, experiential walk with the Holy Spirit, depth of your knowledge of prophetic revelation, point four, it's going to take you looking at it, studying it, going over it, just like old prophets did, intensely, carefully, line by line. And here's the fifth thing. You want spiritual discernment? You want spiritual ability for spiritual analysis? You want spiritual empowerment going into 2011? And I believe this means feeling what's going on, knowing the urgency, listening to the Spirit of God, knowing the mission of God. I'm going to unleash on you Friday night the mission of God that is the most supernatural, dramatic. It is the heart of God. It is the will of God. It is the place where all of God's presence, power, all of heaven, literally, is engaged in this one singular mission. And every believer listening is supposed to be a part of it and experience everything with it. So as much as we talk about the agenda and exposing by biblical prophetic revelation and by the current events that are around us, the dark side stuff. See, when I hear about the dark side stuff, it kept me up 3 hours last night doing some studies only so we can bring greater exposure and do more of what we need to do to get people saved and healed and delivered, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're listening right now from whatever country in the world, and you don't even know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He's alive right there where you are. He died, He rose from the dead, He ascended, He's right there where you are. And by the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, He summons you to come home. Receive Him. The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you do that? If you believe that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh, Savior of the world, came for you, died on the cross for you, rose from the dead, He's going to come again. Listen, right now then, just pray out, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. I receive you. I accept you and all of your grace, your forgiveness, the gift of salvation, your presence into my life. I accept you entering into my life and giving me the gift of, well, eternal life too. That's where it all begins. A new birth, born from above. Your human spirit instantly being made alive by the Spirit of Christ. A personal relationship with all the power and all the grace and all the love and all the joy and everything you're going to need to go forward. If you're a new believer or if you're praying right now to receive Christ, back on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, to the left, a little picture of a Bible. It says dynamic discipleship. There are MP3s there that say, what happens at salvation? How do you know you're sure for sure you're saved? And they're all there to help you out. Now, I mentioned, number one, the Word of God. Number two, the Holy Spirit. Number three, prophetic revelation. Number four, your effort. You're looking. You're getting into it. You're setting the course. Man, there are some Christians that are so busy, they don't have time to even look at a verse of Scripture. And that's really a sorry mess. That we do not have the depth of the content. You know, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come. He'd remind you of everything that was taught. But you've got to have it in you to have the Holy Spirit remind you. You're going to have to take time, my friend. You're going to have to take the greater and release the lesser. Did you hear me? You're going to have to take time to grab hold of the greater and let go of the lesser. Number five in this little description of how to have the greatest spiritual discernment, empowerment, and how to be able to spiritually analyze and move forward. The Word, number one. Holy Spirit, number two. Prophetic revelation, number three. Number four, effort. Committed, consistent effort. And number five, the living, personal lordship of Jesus Christ. No one can give you a better heads up. No one can know more about your life and what's coming. He knows what's coming down the road tomorrow and all of 2011. And He knows all that occurred in 2010. So we're at the crossroads. Lordship of Christ or carnality, backsliddenness, weakness, and being dragged into 2011, kicking, screaming, with fear and trepidation. That's not how we are to march into the future. And you're going to find out if you read the book of Acts and if you come to take the course a field manual for the end of days. It's all about the book of Acts we're going to get into, verse by verse. There'll probably be, I don't know, 50 hours of training material coming out on that starting in January. It's going to kind of be an ongoing live, and I'm going to be an instructor. I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to be an equipper. And I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to coach you. You don't have anybody to preach to you sometimes. Listen, you know what I've learned? Preach to yourself. Psalm writer did that. Asking his soul, why is he so weary and downcast, and to rejoice in the Lord and to do what needs to be done. You know what needs to be done. Jude verse 20, God says, build yourself up in the faith. You don't have to wait for anybody else. You want to become stronger. You want to become more powerful in Christ. You want to see the compassion and grace and the love of God flowing through your life. You want to be able to win many people to Christ, pray for the healing of others, stand with authority to command any demonic presence out. You want to see the glory of God revealed? Well, you're going to have to take up the cross. You're going to have to do it just like Jesus said to do it. There ain't no other way. You study again the Gospel of John 15. There ain't no other way. You can't decide to do it your way. There are believers that are trying to do it their way. You know, how's that going for you? How's that going for you, you know? Does the words backslidden, failing, convicted, grieving the Holy Spirit, wishing it could be different, crying in the middle of the night, warfare all over you and you don't know what to do with it, tendency and temptation to blame God for what God didn't do? Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Take a look at the book of Acts and see how powerful a lot of those simple, early, young believers became. And the older we become, shouldn't we become stronger, more wise, more knowledgeable, more accountable? Well, let me give you this last 12 minutes here. Concerning 2010, the past, digging into the past. Let me ask you questions so that God can speak to your heart. And don't be afraid. Let's dig in a little bit, okay? What about the events? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, here's what I know. I already know this. The Spirit of God's already showing this. That as we look into the past, for some of you, you're going to reach back 20 years to an unhealed, toxic memory based on an event that you just buried and said, I'm never going to bring it up. Maybe it's a failure. Maybe it was a tragedy. Maybe it was trouble. Whether 20 years ago or 6 months ago or sometime in 2010, there were events that occurred in your life, like many, losing a home, losing a job, losing your spouse, relationship breakdown, feel like you've run out of time, the whole money issue, not enough money, all the holidays around, always worrying about it, trouble with neighbors, people at work, failures in our own lives, failures. Let's just say it, man, sins walking in the flesh. Galatians 4 and 5. Listen, to walk in the old sin nature, it says that it's like biting one another, and it brings destruction. And we reap what we sow. And so if you sow to the flesh, the old nature, the way you speak, the way you live, the way you do things, well, you're going to reap. The Word of God says you reap destruction in your life. What about missed opportunities? And here's why I want to tell you. I look over 2010. I wish I could have done more. I wish I could have led more to Christ. I wish I could have answered more emails. I really do. I wish I could see some of you folks face to face. I wish I was even, I just simply wish I was more powerful in prayer. And I am absolutely committed to what the Word of God teaches when it comes to what powerful possibilities there are in prayer. So I look at all of the things of 2010, and if anything comes up from earlier on, unhealed, undealt with. I mean, you can have beach ball, toxic memory issues that you put down because you've never brought it up and laid it out before God. You've never let God speak into it and reach his hands into it to heal it or to convict the reasons why you got there in the first place or to tell you that he can bring renewal, bring restoration, bring revival, that he can bring you back. Ask Peter. Look at Peter in the book of the gospel where he failed and he cussed and he said he didn't even know Jesus. And then he went out back to where he knew to go, back to the old life. And Jesus came. He knew it was going to happen. Spiritual warfare, he was spun around in circles, in fear, anxiety, in his absolute failure. Well, it wasn't absolute. You know why? Because he ultimately listened to Jesus. That same Peter that was there on the side when Jesus said, "Do you love me? Agape. Do you love me with committed agape love?" And Peter can say, I love you with the friendship love, you know, where we get the word Philadelphia. I love you with the friendship love. No, do you agape me? Well, I love you, Lord, with friendship, affection love. But I don't think I can give you the committed agape love you're looking for because I just failed. Jesus knew better. He always does. That's why I said out of the top five things, Word of God, Holy Spirit, prophetic revelation, your effort in all of it, Jesus. Jesus. This is Jesus who knows everything that's going to happen. He knows how to give us a heads up. He knows how to warn us. He warned Peter. He warned the disciples. The enemy was coming. He gives us the Word of God. He gives us the insight. He tells us what we're supposed to be doing. Now, let me tell you something quickly here with 9 minutes left. See the time limits here? You want to see renewal? You want to see restoration? You want to see revival? It's about returning. It's about taking whether it's the past or the past year or right now, issues in your life that deal with failure, deal with missed opportunities, they deal with, you know, looking over your life. I mean, evaluating even 2010, saying, you know what, I could have done better. I could have gotten rid of some of the stupid things in life that make no difference, that only waste time. What about body, soul, and spirit? Taking care of your body. What about how you spend your money? What about how you spend your time? What about bearing any fruit for Christ, which is the most lasting, the most satisfying, which is the arena of the greatest supernatural manifestation of the work and the hand of God? Jesus said, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. His commitment is there. Receive it, believer in Christ. I want you to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us. Where's the word parakletos? Comforts us, comes right alongside and comforts us with whatever, in all of our thalipsis, all of our pressure, all of our troubles. And when God ministers to you, when God comes in with a word of wisdom and leads you and guides you, and if God's doing it right now as you're listening, and if his spirit is falling all over you, and he's embracing you, and he's picking you up, if he's washing you and cleansing you and sanctifying you and re-firing you up, if he's giving you hope again, that's God the Father. Compassionate, able to aid you in all the troubles. Look to him, look to him, look to him again and again and again. From whence comes your help? Receive. Don't go away. Listen to him. Wisdom. Maybe it's conviction of what we did. Maybe we do need to say, God, it was stupid. I did this. Lord, I messed up over here. Lord, I want this to change. Well, so does he. He wants it to change too. Always for the best. I already said it, Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18, did I not? Specifically, verse 17, this is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One, I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you and directs you in the way you should go. That's right. I remember the stories in the book of Acts. I mean, in literally, you know, as I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 also, and Paul saying we felt the sentence of death. It was way beyond us. It was so much pressure. We felt the sentence of death. But it's God that raises the dead. He testifies that God delivered him, and he was confident that God would continue to deliver him. There's a new day. There really is. God's mercies are new every morning. That's the word of God out of the book of Lamentations. Paul and Silas was sitting in a prison. What could they do? They sang hymns and praises to God. God caused an earthquake, broke the chains, opened the doors. A jailer and his family got saved, and they got sent on mission. Peter's in prison. They're going to really hurt him. Soldiers next to him. He's bound with chains, a big iron barred gate. Road in the household, little group of people praying. They didn't even know what angels were dispatched. This is the arena of God, my friends. The chains fell off. The guards were blinded, and the word of God says the gate, the iron barred gate, opened all by itself. Well, by the hand of God. That's what God can do in your life. That's right. Whether it's Peter in jail, Paul and Silas, whether it's that sense of feeling like you've been crushed and killed and destroyed, well, he is the God of resurrection. He raises the dead. May he embrace you. May the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, just embrace you. May the Lord Jesus minister to you. I pray for God's hand in your life. I pray for God's word right now in your life. I pray, Lord, heal and restore and lift up and destroy. And we rebuke Satan's lies over you. And we rebuke the lies that he speaks. Stand up now, Christian. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Stand up now, believer, with authority in Christ. Rebuke the lies of the enemy and throw it all off you. Clear the air around you. And begin to put up the praise of God so that God may inhabit those praises. And you feel the glory and the presence and the power of your God all over you. Yes, you can be restored and you can become, like Peter, stronger than you were. And growing more and more powerful like even the Apostle Paul. Jesus can teach you what is best. He can lead you in the way you should go. Listen, we'll see you Wednesday night. We're at the end of the hour. The music is here. We love you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. Good night.